your service. Today's message is about friendship. As you may have gathered or not, the title of the message is What a Friend. And that's why we had the worship team sing once again, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So appropriate. Thank you, Evelyn and Chaney. Think about the characteristics of your best friend and what qualifies them to be your best friend. What characteristics do they have in your mind when you think of them? Describe in your mind your relationship with them, how important they are to you. Someone you can be open and transparent and honest with and say just about anything with, right? They're fun to be around. They're joyful. They encourage you, especially in difficult times. They make life better because they're good listeners. They're your confidant. You can come to them any time of day or night and share your heart with them. They're not judging. They have an enduring friendship and love for you personally, and your relationship is based on absolute truth. This is a sign, the mark of a true friend. This is the relationship Jesus wants to have with all of us, a true friend. Our scripture today is John 15, 11 through 15, as Sharon read for us. And as we sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus, a couple lines from that read, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Thinking of those Marines who were just singing Days of Elijah, how much stronger were they going into battle knowing that their souls were saved? What a comparison, what a witness. Like they used to say back in World War II days, there's no atheists in foxholes. Right? Because their life's on the line. And they have to deal with that day in and day out, much like our policemen and sheriffs today. They fight for our freedoms that we too readily take for granted. We're going to look at our verses in four parts today. The joy of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the friends of the Lord, and all of this leading to the fellowship with the Father. Jesus is speaking about abiding in Christ in verse 8. And when we abide in Christ, he's saying we bear much fruit because we're abiding with him. This message was given actually in the upper room during the Passover, the Last Supper. And in a few hours, Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. Okay, so that's the context of this message, which is very upbeat and very loving. And he's talking about friendship and being connected to him. So number one, let's look at the joy of the Lord. Verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you that in my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. In other words, to know Jesus is to have joy. Pretty simple, but what a blessing to have joy because we abide in him day in and day out, and he abides in us. And the key to this is that he's spoken to us. How has he spoken to us? Through his word, right? Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 say, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So God the Father spoke through his Son Jesus in an active demonstrated love for us on the cross when he died for our sins. Powerful message to mankind. John 17, 13 says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He speaks to us, and he speaks joy into our hearts. So where does your joy come from, right, is a good question. If you're witnessing to somebody and they're saying, oh, yeah, I have a sense of spirituality, or yeah, I believe in God, but they don't know Jesus, they don't know the Word of God, and they, when you really get to the heart of the matter, they have no joy because they have no salvation. There's joy in the salvation of the Lord. That's the core, the essence of our joy. So where does our joy come from? It's a good question to ask somebody that you're witnessing to. And what is the source of that joy? We can go right to Jesus. Amen. So when I think of the friendship, if you will, the connection, the relationship, the personal, deep, soulful relationship I have with my Lord and Savior, I can go to joy pretty quickly. That's a blessing. You know, as Christians, we shouldn't be walking around with long faces and, you know, burdened by the things of the world because we're anxious about everything and, you know, wondering what's going to happen next. No, we walk by faith, and we walk knowing that our God loves us, and He demonstrated His love for us. And He still is, through His Word, as He actively blesses us by His Holy Spirit, comforting us, strengthening us, giving us everything we need to carry on and fulfill these commandments. He doesn't leave us hanging, does He? Second point, the commandment of the Lord. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another, big word, as I have loved you. Jesus commands us to love. This is not a request. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment, okay? And that's how the early church was established. That's how the church still, the healthy church, thrives, is by what? Loving one another, okay? And if you're on Facebook this morning, you're watching, and you're not able to come here, like we've said many times, you're missing out on the connection. You're missing out on the love that's here. This is a love fest, like they said in the 60s. This is all about God loving us and us loving Him back and loving each other. There's just love in the room. Amen? Amen? Shout it out so the people on Facebook can hear you. Amen. Right? So, because without love, what do we have? You know, it's just a religion. We're just kind of going through the motions. It's tradition. It's something else. But when it's a loving relationship, it grows and it strengthens. It does everything it's intended to do. So Jesus is saying, get on that love train, be a part of this love fest, whatever you want to call it, this love interaction, this love relationship, so I can bless you, so I can give you that love and joy and peace and comfort and everything you need, the core of what you need, right? That's where our joy comes from. Because no matter what this life throws at us, the difficult trials and tribulations, I know my God loves me. You know, we have physical aches and pains and struggles and all that we deal with, right? But the core of it is we know that Jesus loves us. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus was the perfect example of love. We are called to be little Jesuses, right? Christians, little Christians, little Christ, another way to look at it. Now, are we perfect? Are we? No. The only thing perfect is God's Holy Spirit in us. Otherwise, we're all messed up, right? We're not better. We're just sinners saved by grace. We're still sinners, but we're saved by grace. Big difference. But that doesn't make us better than anyone in the world that's not saved. We're just better off because we know we're going to heaven, right? So we can't place ourselves higher than anybody because we're still sinners, but we're loved by God. And those sinners who are lost in the darkness, they can have this too, can't they? They just need to receive it. It's so simple, right? It's just a change of heart. In our key verse this morning, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus did that. And he did that. You sensed his pain. If you can go in your mind's eye to the Garden of Gethsemane for a moment and observe, if you will, Jesus pouring out himself, shedding drops of blood. He's sweating so profusely, knowing he's going to the cross. And I don't think he's thinking about the pain at all. I think he's thinking about being separated from the Father for the first time in eternity. That act that he was heading towards, because God is love. And for love to be separated from love, which is something we can't even comprehend, but it rocked Jesus to the core. But he went to the cross anyway. He went to the cross because of his love, because he knew he had to do it. That's why he came. That was his total focus. And he embraced it. But because he is so loving and so good, his humanity struggled with it. Not my will, but thy will be done, he said, out of obedience. Amazing love. The word here in the Greek is agapao, or agape, we say. It's used often in the first epistle of John, of the love of Christians toward one another, of the benevolence of God in providing salvation for men he has exhibited by sending his Son to them, by giving up himself to death for his beloved. That's us. 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Jesus, again, was the perfect example of love. There is no greater love on earth than the sacrificial love for one's friends. And we can see examples of this in the Old Testament with David and Jonathan. 1 Samuel 20:17 says, he loved him as he loved his own soul. Jonathan and David were tight. They were good friends. You couldn't get any closer, because Jonathan was willing to sacrifice everything for David, because he was able to acknowledge that David was God's anointed. And he was able to step out of himself and his really God-given rights as the heir to the throne and said, nope, David, you're the man. You're the one. And I acknowledge that. And their friendship was as close as possibly could be. Jesus and the Apostle John had the same relationship. John referred to himself. He was referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved in John 21. Likewise, that connection is made with Jesus and us in John 10:11. Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is our good shepherd because he loves us, and he was willing to come to earth and become a man, shed his glory to be like us, still be God, but still be man, so he could shed his blood and demonstrate his love for us. Zechariah 13:6 says, and one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms or between your hands? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. That's going to be a heartbreak when Jesus says that to the Jews in the last days. And they're going to realize they killed their Messiah. But Jesus went to the cross anyway. He loved us as our servicemen and women put put their lives in jeopardy for the love of their country and the defense of our freedoms and their families. An article came up in the New York Times last November, and the title of the article was, "What Does It Mean to Love Your Country?" And several people responded, and this one caught my eye. It says, "You can't love your country without loving your fellow citizens. To me, love of country is gladly anchored to values and customs that are shared by fellow citizens. It is to yearn to try shrimp and grits in South Carolina, seeing a game at Fenway, taking in some jazz in Chicago, and watching waves crash against a West Coast shore. I've never felt so pitted against fellow citizens as I do now. I manage it by reflecting on Lincoln's observation and the Bible's that a house divided against itself cannot stand. I resolve to mend divisions. Blessed are the peacemakers." Amen. This person got it. His name is Joel Griffiths out of Mapleton, Utah. Bless his heart. But he kind of encapsulated everything we're going through right now. Thirdly, in our scripture here, we are friends of the Lord. Verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends." Friends, think back again to the characteristics of your best friend. Friends love actively. And if your best friend asks you to do something, you're going to do it. Okay? Jesus is saying, if you obey me, then you're going to understand that relationship. Remember, as new Christians, we start out, and salvation's a whole new thing, right, in our first steps. Jesus is our Savior in that moment. But for the rest of our lives, he's our Lord. And he's our Lord every day. Yes, he's our Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that goes hand in hand with him being the Lord of our lives without compromise. Think back again on your best friend. You don't want to ever compromise that relationship with your best friend by, you know, talking behind their back or doing something that you wouldn't do, gossiping, you know, behind their back that, you know, saying something against them to hurt their feelings or whatever, right? You want to keep that relationship pure, and you want to keep it honest and forthright so that you can always face your best friend and know that that relationship is tight and nothing has ever compromised it. And that's the way a marriage relationship should be as well, right? Obedience is an essential part of our faith. Romans 1:5 says, "Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Jesus, again, is our Savior and the Lord of our life. And fourthly, we have relationship with the Father. So the fruit of all this, the fruit of the relationship, fruit of obeying Jesus and him becoming our best friend, is to have fellowship with the Father. That's what the cross was all about, was that restoration, right? Being restored to the Father. Sinners being restored to the Father. It says here in our scripture, "For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." How does he do that to us today? Again, through the Word of God. That's why we read the Bible, okay? I want to hear from Jesus. I want to know what Jesus is teaching us today, because it's the eternal Word of God. That doesn't mean, you know, somebody who criticized the Bible said, oh, it was written 2,000 years ago, and, you know, it's a bunch of old stories related to that time, but all they're doing is revealing the fact that they don't realize it's the eternal Word of God, and it's absolutely applicable for May 30th, 2021, and tomorrow and beyond, right? So when you take that to heart and you take in the Word of God, you're actually developing your relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. When you're reading the Bible, you're reading about Jesus, Okay? And if you want to get to know about Jesus, read the Bible. Right? We should all, as Christians, know his teaching. Read the Gospels over and over and over again. Read the Beatitudes. Have an understanding of the Sermon on the Mount. Just a working knowledge, you know, so that you know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what Jesus Christ teaches. Because when you send that word out, when you're witnessing, when you're praying for somebody, and you're bringing scripture into it, that's when it's stronger. That's when it's more meaningful. We had some friends, some neighbor friends, who went to practically an atheist wedding this week, and they were able to share scripture from Song of Solomon, and they actually gave the address and a little bit of context, and they said it was actually a beautiful moment. They didn't expect it, but they're sharing the word of God with non-believers at a wedding, and afterwards they said they got all kinds of blessings and compliments and people commenting on the scripture that they read. That's the power of scriptures. So I'm sure seeds were planted. Never ever take for granted the word of God that you know you have in your heart right now, and expand your biblical vocabulary. Okay? That's how we get the word out. That's how we demonstrate love. And with scripture like this, you could say to a friend or somebody you're witnessing to, a family friend you're struggling with, say, how am I doing, you know, in your opinion? I am commanded to love you. How, you know, do you sense that? You know, in your own words, God has commanded me to love you. You know, how are we doing in our relationship? I think that's a good question to ask. But now we have fellowship with the Father. Jesus has made known to his friends everything he heard from his Father. We have insight to the Father through the Word of God, his nature, his will, his plan, his love for us, on and on and on. It's eternal. Don't think, you know, you read the Bible and, okay, I've read it, now what? You haven't even scratched the surface. It's eternal. It's spiritual. And we have to read it over and over again, like I've said before, like food. You know, we have oatmeal every day. and that's okay, you know. And we read the Bible every day because we want to be healthy spiritually and physically. So important. What a friend we have in Jesus. And because of that friendship, we have the joy of the Lord because he's spoken to us through his word. We have the commandment of the Lord to love one another, and no one has demonstrated it better than Jesus did for us on the cross. We are friends of the Lord if we obey him, if we always see him as the Lord of our lives. And fourthly, we have fellowship with the Father because of Jesus, because Jesus has spoken into our lives, demonstrated his love for us, and restored that relationship with the Father. And because of this, he calls us friends. Now, not friends in a light sense where he's our buddy. He's still our Lord and Savior. So, so important to keep that in mind. So I have a little story to tell you. I may have noticed this beautiful wreath up here. This is a memorial wreath that my dear wife Margaret made. And this flag, I actually have a certificate here of the meaning of this flag, and I'd like to read it to you because it's very special to us. This is a certificate of authenticity. And it reads, "This is to certify that this flag, bearing the colors of the United States of America, was flown on a combat mission, Task Force Long Knife, DCSS, over Mosul, Tar Heel, and Spiker, Iraq, in a UH-60L Black Hawk helicopter named Accuracy 60 on the 20th of June, 2011. This flag is presented on behalf of our son, at the time First Lieutenant, now Captain, Aaron Montes, HHC, 1st Battalion, 140th AVN Assault, supporting America's War on Terrorism during Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation New Dawn, 10/11, while deployed at Balad Air Force Base, Salah al-Din, Governorate, Iraq. And this flag was presented to Margaret and myself by our son. We're so proud of him. Aaron, son, we love you. Thank you for your service. God bless you. For all the veterans and active service people, once again, we love you. We thank you for your service. We thank you for keeping us free. And we know it comes at a great cost. So let's pray, and we'll lift this time up to the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Lord, we thank you for our blessings. Thank you for our church family. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can call you friend. And that friendship, that relationship we have with you is precious to us, Lord. And we will never take it for granted. Lord, we ask that you go before us in all things. We ask that you bless everyone on this Memorial Day weekend. And we pray you keep everyone safe, especially those who are traveling. And Lord, just have your arms of love around them and protect them, we pray. For all those, again, who have served our country and are serving actively, Lord, I just lift them all up to you. And I ask that you protect them, keep them safe in their service, Lord. Thank you for them. Lord, for those who don't know you, those that are serving, and those that have retired, Lord, we pray for their salvation. God, we pray for all those who don't know you. And if that's you out there listening today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Lord of your life, that's a very, very simple prayer. Just take to heart that God so much loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you on the cross, to die for your sins, a penalty that you or I cannot pay. Jesus paid that price because he loves you. If you'd like to know Jesus as your Savior and the Lord of your life, please, please, wherever you're at, just close your eyes, bow your heads, and repeat this prayer after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, God, forgive me of all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. If you just took that prayer and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord, welcome to the family. Please contact us at the church office. The church office is closed tomorrow, but call us on Tuesday. Email us.